Welcome to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and our show today is really the most anticipated forecast of technology for 2026. You know, we're going to count down the top 15 technology trends I think are going to be very impactful for small businesses, for users at home, and, you know, things that I want you to watch and pay attention to because, you know, the reality is, you know, whether it's quantum breakthroughs that we're seeing and that we're hearing all the time to, you know, AI and potentially AI walking among us. And, you know, even from a cybersecurity perspective that, you know, you're not going to be able to see. The reality is I think that the future is a lot closer than most people think. And as we close out 2025, you know, we did okay last year, right? We nailed the AI and the agentic stuff. We talked a lot about the impacts of, you know, potentially with jobs. And of course, I discussed the alarmists and we saw an awful lot of that this year. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about the same sort of things. Now, as we dive into some of these things and we're really gonna journey, and it's not just gonna be about AI, we're gonna journey through a lot of different technologies because as we talked about before, we're seeing a lot more of, you know, cross-utilization, a lot more of cross-platform type things, and a lot more of interdependence between one platform, potentially AI, and another platform, which could be mobile, it could be computing, it could be a lot of those things. And so, you know, I made a lot of promises going into, 2025, and, you know, we saw a lot of transformation. We saw a lot of transformative shifts, especially around generative AI revolutionizing parts of industry, as well as the pullback that we saw, right? Because, you know, jobs, you know, were not being taken by generative AI like a lot of folks thought. They tried it. It didn't work. Now, we talked a lot about quantum computing and starting to commercialize that. And I discussed even some of the ways that I'm using it in our AI software. And that is a powerful tool because then it allows you to solve a whole multitude of different types of problems. So how did we do? Well, we saw AI adoption jump by about 55%. Yay. We were pretty close. I thought it would be a little bit higher. We saw organizations start to pull back a little bit more though, didn't we? And that number, well, I missed that one. I thought, no, I think that they're going to get it right this time. I thought wrong, right? It was much less than what I anticipated that it would be. Now, here's the interesting part though. A lot of this experimentation and execution is not an AI problem. It is a basic fundamental execution problem, you know, and that's some of the things that we have to start to think about as we go forward. So companies may be asking for, should we use AI? When do we start? How do we scale it responsibly? Well, we'll have to see. And it's one of the reasons why we're doing this list. As we look at the vast things, though, I'll give you a couple examples. You know, we're starting to see more compute challenges driven by power, driven by supply chain. We saw them at the end of COVID, but now they're starting to come back from a supply chain perspective because we're building more data centers. And as we build more data centers, that means more GPUs. That means that it's a lot harder to get them. So you got to think about that as we go into, you know, that list. So let's think a little bit different, come at it from a little bit different perspective and how we're going to rank some of these things, because why does 2026 feel different? Why are analysts, why are researchers and industry leaders, you know, calling it a pivotal year? Well, I already hit on it a little bit, but it's going to be around convergence. It's going to be around maturity, and it's going to be around acceleration. Now, from a convergence perspective, it really has to do with, you know, things are finally starting to merge. And in some cases, it's a need, And there's no choice. And in other cases, it's really from a convenience perspective. And whether it's quantum computing meeting AI, whether it's edge computing meeting AI, and bringing intelligence as close to the human as possible, it's really breaking down all those silos. And that's a good thing. From a maturity perspective, we've been hoping, and we've gone through an awful lot of technology winters for many, many years with different types of technology. And we are now starting, though, to move from pilots and researchy type programs to, you know, production and deployments into real organizations. And I think as we improve that transition from exploration to exploitation, then the experiment phase is over. The technology's already been proved out, and now it's time to use it. And then from an acceleration, we're going to think about really those innovations that are emerging in a year or so that we haven't seen before. Now, the pace is, it's not slowing. We see it as a way that it's actually compounding, particularly when you merge it with the other two. And those organizations now are acting not only from a volatility perspective and trying to weather that volatility, but also to shape industries, you know, for decades to come. And that's the sort of impact these sort of things are going to have. Now, me being an engineer, of course, I have to come up with a framework for what our countdown is going to look like, right? And so it's not just about new things. It's about how impactful they are going to be. And specifically, it's how impactful it's going to be for small businesses, because that's what we're here to do. And so I've ranked the top 15, and it's really going to be driven by three criteria. First one, enterprise readiness, right? We always talk about that. Is it ready for real world deployment? You may argue with me with some that are on the list, but guess what? It's my list. So you're going to have to go with me on this. The second one is the transformative potential that is out there. How fundamentally is this technology going to change how we work, how we live, how we compete, how we do everything in our lives? AI is clearly, you know, very impactful, but there's some other ones on the list that I want you to pay attention to, because they may be considered underdogs and sleepers. And the third is urgency. How are organizations going to act in 2026, or can they wait? Do they have to deploy this technology now? Is it a driver in their ability to grow? Well, that's what we have taken into account. And so we're going to start number 15 in our way to you know, these next great impacts that we'll see in you know, in a few moments. But I want you to stick around, and we'll start hitting them when we get back from a few short messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Madeau. And this week, we are doing a technology trends, things I want you to pay attention to going into 2026. As I mentioned, we did okay in 2025. We hit some pretty square. Others, we might have missed a little bit. But I think going into 2026, it's going to be interesting, because the impacts are going to be, I think, are going to be huge in a lot of different areas. And so I don't want to waste any more time. Let's really just dive into our top 15. And, you know, these are what I would call foundation builders. These are technologies that really are laying the groundwork for everything else. It's Not necessarily a mandate, but you can do it other ways. But really, it's one of those things where you have to have it in order to really succeed in whatever mission that you're trying to do. So, number 15, I think is going to be the post-quantum encryption, issue. And in 2024, if you look at what was happening going into 2025, NIST finalized their three post-quantum cryptography standards, and it was really around encapsulation and some other things around digital signatures, right? And we saw bits and pieces of that in 2025, where ooh, there's some early adoption. We are hearing things that are taking place out of some other countries, and it made a lot of people nervous. So there's an awful lot of research that has been poured into that. Now, why is it going to matter in 2026? Well, here is the uncomfortable truth. Adversaries, they're already building some of these systems. They're harvesting encrypted data today. We know that ransomware, all those things are out there. And a quantum computer's ability, like we've talked about many times on the show, it is capable of breaking current encryption techniques that are applied to data. And it's really around a strategy that some bad actors are using called harvest now, decrypt later. And it's not theoretical, it's something that is happening right now. As you look at the differences in goals for quantum computing, there are just some fundamental basics around mathematics that we cannot overcome. And even experts are concerned about the ability to have redundant systems, the ability to maintain some of those things, and even NIST, their transition timeline for quantum vulnerable algorithms, it's they believe that it will be 2035, and even some folks have said no, it's going to be significantly faster than that. And so that means that we have an awful lot of high-risk systems that may need to transition earlier. So going into 2026, we're going to see a sharp increase, I think, in quantum security spending. We've seen it. I've talked about it. Some of the larger enterprises are really pushing for those types of things. And so it's going to be very important. Now, bottom line, it's not about future-proofing anymore with post-quantum encryption. It's about protecting data that has already been stolen. And we need to get our act together. We need to really start to swarm and solve this problem. And I think we're running out of time to do that. So it's going to be very impactful going into 2026. So number four or 14, sorry, jumped a little ahead. It's around confidential computing. We talk about our digital identity a lot in 2025. We've talked about really just trying to make sure that sensitive data on infrastructure that you do not control has some sort of maintainability. And guess what? We're being a little bit disappointed. We've seen major cloud providers offering trusted execution environments, but realistically, the adoption was limited because a lot of different reasons. CISOs weren't buying into it. They wanted to control their data. And so that's going to be much more impactful going into 2026. And it's really going to fundamentally change how organizations are handling their sensitive data. They're going to isolate workloads more. They're going to try to do it in trusted, execution environments or, TEEs, you'll hear them referred to. But the important part of that is that private data, even from your normal infrastructure perspective, is going to have to be maintained. And I think coming in, there's going to start to be more negative ramifications that go along with that because it is very impactful for everybody's lives. And I saw a stat from Gartner that I did want to mention and said it. I'm going to read it so I don't get it wrong. So Gartner predicts that by 2029, more than 75% of operations processed in untrusted infrastructures will be secured in use to confidential computing. That's a big shift, big shift. And that's going to take place in within 4 years. That's huge. And so that means your AI workloads that require processing of sensitive data, healthcare records, all those financial transactions that are taking place. 2026 is going to be a big mover for that. And the more security we have with our personal information, the better, right? Because that's protecting that digital credential, digital identity is huge. Number 13 is going to be nanotechnology. We have not done a show on nanotechnology yet, and I will do one in 2026 because it really is a quiet revolution that's taking place across many industries. If AI wasn't dominating the headlines, I think nanotechnology would be the next bit of the next piece of that. Medicine, targeting drug delivery systems with nanoparticles and clinical trials that are taking place, all the way to material science. There's so much great stuff that's going on that it really, well, one, it's like other things, it is redefining and reshaping the healthcare system in some cases. It's really allowing early adoption and commercial adoption for things that we didn't think were going to be possible even 3, 4, 5 years ago. Now, in 2026, I still don't think it's going to get the same sort of headlines, but the realities are that it's going to drive smartphones. It's going to drive medical breakthroughs. It's going to drive materials that we're going to use that are going to be stronger, they're going to be lighter, they're going to be more efficient. That's a foundational technology. And seeing nanotechnology start to intersect with AI in fascinating ways is going to be, it's going to be something special. It's going to accelerate discovery. We're going to start to see nanosensors, I think, that are going to enable new forms of edge computing. So we're going to have some new compute devices, I think, towards the end of 2026 that are really, really exciting. And, even from a battery perspective, I think biosensors and really that continuous health monitoring, go watch our health monitoring, health devices, show. And I think you're going to start to see where I'm starting to connect some of those dots, right? And oh yeah, quantum dots. Oh, I forgot to even mention quantum dots, but those sort of things are really going to drive TVs, screens, laptops, all those things. So that is going to be something that's going to power the future most definitely. Now, biotech and biocomputing, we did a little bit on neuromorphic computing, and they're even starting to we're starting to see for the Christmas season neuromorphic computing devices. I bought one. It's going to be here in a couple of weeks. Very excited. I'll show you when I get that. Now, DNA and academic curiosity to commercial pursuits of this. We've gone through cataloging exercises, we've gone through scripting and DNA scripts and those kind of things. It's made a lot of progress. It's going to continue to do so going into 2026, and that's going to allow us to do an awful lot of things from looking at orders of magnitude increases in density that you can put on silicon to assistant storage devices to looking at other basic sort of compute capabilities and interfacing that with AI itself is going to be huge. If we can get that, that means that we're going to start to be able to do things that are on par with how quickly the human brain can process and move electrons around in there. And so that's something to think about. And again, it's a foundational technology that has got the potential to reshape things. All it takes is that first step. And in my opinion, neuromorphics is starting, has already taken that first step, and now it's really going to start to grow. Number 11, multi-agent systems. So we hit the nail right on the head going into 2025. We did not miss on this at all. We knew that it was coming because we've been doing it for many years, but everybody else has started to do it as well. And so, folks are starting to realize that they can solve more complex problems if they use AI agents to do different subsets of that problem, and they're trained differently. Now, the difference is a lot of folks don't know how to orchestrate them yet. And that takes some special sauce that is not readily available right now. And you're looking at different layers of orchestration. You're looking at different ways to look at patterns and really come up with new formulas. And that's going to be a significant driver around that. And so going into 2026, we've already started to see that trend. We hear about it all the time. And next big piece is going to be around that orchestration of those multi-agent systems. So number 10, can't be surprised with this one. It's going to be around sustainable technology. Now, that can cover an awful lot of things, right? But I'm looking at it, and I was looking at it from a really from a boardroom priority and trying to figure out, okay, how can we do things? How can we build things that are, more sustainable from a reporting perspective? No, we're not talking carbon credits here, but we're talking about ways that we can make sure that the growth of AI and the growth of other, technologies or compute-heavy, institutions can be overcome. And the same technology, promising, I would say, to solve climate challenges is now itself becoming a significant energy consumer. And the more data centers that we're building, you can't balance that out with the amount of carbon that it's being released. And we have to have a reality check, okay? Digital technologies for 2026, are going to contradict our goals of reducing global carbon emissions by 20% by 2030. That was a goal that was set a few years ago. And that's not going to be something that we can achieve overnight. And every single AI model that is trained is going to lead to more data centers required to be built, which means more devices that have to be manufactured, which also means more strain on our power grid. The numbers, they don't add up. They just don't. And I think we're going to have a reckoning coming into 2026, and I'm not sure how long it's going to go. We're not going to solve it by the end of 2026, but sustainability is going to be a big driver. And number 9 is around extended reality. Apple's Vision Pro, I love it. When it entered the market, I got one, and I still use it and play with it. It's great. And same thing with Quest and Meta's Quest. Google launched the Android XR. I don't have one of those. I haven't used it, but in conversations I've had, it is impactful. Extending that market into gaming novelties, into productivity tools for different enterprises, for digital twins, and all of those things, it requires 5G networks. And it requires the expansion of those. It requires the expansion of low latency connectivity that the XR needs to really make things go smooth. And it's a compelling story because the market is projected to be around $125 billion in 2026. That's not chump change. And really shifting from where we started in about 2020 to now 2026, going into 2026, it's going to be huge. And so as AI gets more involved in it, we're going to see nanotechnology becoming more involved in it. So we're going to get hardware that's going to be lighter, it's going to fit better. We're going to see it be built for longer term usage and comfort, which could have other ramifications as we go down through the rest of the list. And so that's our first 7. And when we come back though, we're gonna dive a little bit deeper and get a little bit closer to the top of our countdown. We're gonna see the digital twins come in on the list this year. Where are some other quantum computing type capabilities? And oh, let's not forget about the robots, because Why would we want to forget about the robots, right? And so stick with us. We'll be back after a few messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to our countdown of the top 15 technology trends for 2026. We covered those foundational builders, looking at, things that are maybe under the radar a little bit, but I think are going to be very impactful and could be game changers. Technologies that are going to fundamentally alter our business operations and our ability to potentially compete. And these are the things that you don't often think about, but they really are going to be more important as we again become more integrated and really dependent on different technologies to augment what we're trying to do. So let's get back to our countdown. Number eight is going to be one of my personal favorites. It's really the digital twins and the human digital twins. Now, as we are looking to expand manufacturing into healthcare, smart cities, retails, we saw in 2025 some components, some bits and pieces as these digital twins started to mature. And we would see system twins. We could even see, twins evolving into process twins. And we also started to see twins evolving into our human, our cognitive twins. And the market, you would be surprised that in 2022 it was about $9 billion. Going into 2026 and projected into 2030, it's projected to be $137 million or billion dollars. That's impressive. And that evolution, though, is what we are really going to see in 2026. We're going to start to see those digital twins of different types of machines, entire factories, systems of systems, cities, and of course, humans. Now, I am one of the leaders in that. I have been pushing really to try to, allow AI to interact more human-like and drive some of its decisions based on, quantitative, numbers so that you can have more trust in them. You can have more trust in understanding its biases, how it's going to respond, and those types of things. And that is going to be a big driver for, 2026, because now you open so many different doors. You're looking at more personalized services. You can even get to more, a shift from isolated component-level digital twins to composites to, different, perspectives even more. And it's gonna be huge. And I think looking at healthcare again, it's gonna be a big driver. The system is really gonna be exciting because now you can start to look at, okay, if I model different patient organs for different surgical planning, if I do, different systems, whether it's vehicles, whether it's machines, maybe I could do more predictive type of things. It's really going to be exciting. And, NVIDIA and some other clinics are even looking at, trying to do digital pathology with these human digital twins. I think it's going to be exciting, and we're going to see some big changes on that, but also some risks. So that is going to be something we have to pay attention to, is around the risks, because you all know how the ethics and the transparency is so important to me, and I try to convey that to you all. I'll keep you updated as we go through 2026. Now, I was debating whether to put this on the list so high, but I just can't get rid of it. It's really around cloud computing and hybrid infrastructures and architectures, because We are in a time where there's more geopolitical rift and than we've seen in a little while, and that's also driving some data sovereignty concerns, and it's forced a lot of organizations to rethink what their data and the life cycle of their data is. Do I want it to go into this country? Do I want to make sure that my framework is really tightened down? Do I want to make sure that, pick one, China or, even the EU, they have those regulations that I'm not going to be penalized potentially, and is it cloud first and all those things. In 2026, I think that's going to come to a head. I think we're going to start to see this. Gartner uses a term called, geopatriotization of data. That means that workloads are going to shift. That means that regional clouds are going to, and cloud providers are going to mitigate some of that geopolitical risk by focusing more locally on things. And that is going to be a big driver. And like I said, I don't know what the outcome of that is going to be, but I do know that AI governance, data sovereignty, as well as data center locations are going to drive what some of those strategic decisions are going to be. And a lot of that's going to come down to cost and how they can optimize costs. So they're going to have to get, the users of those systems are going to have to get more sophisticated in multi-cloud management, orchestration, and, those sort of things. And the winner is going to be, again, it's going to go back to these orchestrations of these workloads. That's who the winner is going to be, because they're going to be able to take advantage of that. Now, tying into that, and this one almost cracked the top five. I had a hard time not putting it into the top five, but you're going to see why. It's really around these preemptive AI security platforms. I've talked to you about Atlas. Atlas is my platform that we're launching to do some of these very things. But the realities are is this cybersecurity paradigm is shifting, and it's becoming more proactive instead of reactive. People are deploying cyber, and threat hunt teams, really for, to try to get ahead of some of these things so that they can detect and respond instead of waiting for an attack. And that's huge, because it's changing the threat landscape faster than I think folks would have predicted even a couple of years ago. AI and the power of AI to drive some of these, into the operational space, and it's really an AI-powered defense, has made a big difference, and it's going to have huge implications in 2026, because now we're starting to look at preemptive cybersecurity, and that's where we were hoping to be a few years ago. Just didn't have the tools to do it. You could hire more people, but now we've got the additional tools that will let us do that significantly faster and more cost effective. Now, the second piece of that, though, is the AI security platforms that are out there. I've told you I don't feel great about a large language model, watching a large language model. But I think if you put in the guidelines and those other rule-based activities, I think you can help facilitate that. So that's going to be an important factor. We're going to do a lot of shows on that going into as we're in 2026, because it's going to be impactful, and we're going to see it at every single layer of our society, whether it's a business, whether it's personal, whether it's an enterprise, whether it's the government. It's not going to matter. It's going to drive a lot of those things. Now, number five, we actually did a couple of shows on this, and it's really fundamentally the quantum computing capabilities that we are seeing. It's finally starting to deliver some real things. One of our partners, of course, Quantinuum, they launched what is really the most accurate quantum computer to date. And you can use it, you can program it like a classical computer. There's a lot of different nuances. We've integrated it into our AI platform, for example. But early testers like SoftBank, JP Morgan, BMW, and there's some others that are, they are really starting to take hold. And then you've got a whole bunch of others that are knocking on the door that are going to start to really reshape how we look at high performance computing, how we look at defining that entire computing industry. And now the more software that we get, the better it's going to take hold. And we'll see it. This quantum, the quantum computing market is really going to be huge. I think by 2035, maybe we'll see it in the, mid to $100 billion range. That's pretty impressive because you're looking at a 29 to 30% CAGR for that. Pretty good. And that's going to drive quantum as a service. It's going to drive using different platforms to come up with different solutions in the same platform. So it's an exciting time if you're in that. Now, we could have put a quantum in a couple other places too on the list, but it is not going to outshine edge computing and edge AI. We have talked about trying to get and make AI significantly easier to use. And the important thing around that is it's starting to explode. We are seeing sensor devices everywhere, whether it's glasses, whether it's shoes, whether it's clothing, whether it's UAVs, everywhere in between. That is not going to stop. It is going to accelerate. And that's going to also accelerate the adoption of edge AI. And it's also going to make predictive maintenance, especially combined with quantum computing, much more of a reality because we'll be able to detect anomalies and those impactful things that will drive our maintenance programs significantly better. So stay tuned with that. Number three, AI native development platforms. Now, that means that things like Copilot, things like Code Whisperer, things like Cursor, et cetera, those are going to be standard tools in the development process. I've talked about how I used AI to develop our platform and how I had trained my own models and done those sort of things, and the amount of time that it saved to do testing and to do some additional activities with that. It's game changing. And that's only going to accelerate. Because they're getting better, the large language models are getting better, the ability to plug those into different organizations are getting better. Now, the impact, though, is going to be especially interesting because we're not sure if the processes that we have today are going to be able to handle those. Well, I can tell you they're not going to be able to, but it's the reluctance to change those processes that we need to pay attention to, because until you do that, you're not going to have that game-changing moment and really be able to take advantage of it. Now, the last one for our number two is around advanced robotics. We're going to see those come to the forefront. We have gone past Atlas and doing flips and watching it jump upstairs and those kind of things to humanoid devices that can do very human things, whether that's building something, to whether that's typing, to analyzing, especially when combined with AI. Now, why does it matter? It matters because we're starting to bring physical AI and physical intelligence into the real world. Powering machines, powering devices, things that can sense, that can decide, that can act. That's not traditional. And we are going well past the pure automation market to adaptive machines, things that can look at complex systems and figure out how they can interact with those in a lot of different environments. And we've started to see costs are coming down on some of these robotic devices. More non-traditional companies are building those devices because it's forming how they're going to do research going forward. It's really going to be impactful in 2026, and I think organizations need to start thinking about those right now. So stay with us. We're going to reveal number one when we come back, and let's hear some messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to AI Today. We have come to the end. We're going to reveal number one here in a second, but you know, we counted down 15 through 2 in the previous segments, right? And we've explored the post-quantum encryption piece all the way to the physical robotics that we're starting to see. And that means that really there can only be, you know, one technology that we've talked about a lot. And it's not going away in 2026. In fact, I think it's going to be even more prevalent in the systems, how we're using it. And that's agentic and generative AI. Ooh, agentic. So we saw in the beginning, really from a wow factor, it was really a novelty to start. But now the adoption, the capabilities, the tools that are out there, the things that folks can get to do with those to solve some hard problems. You know, it's going to be a game changer for a lot of different organizations. And I think it's going to cause some organizations that took a step back from their AI goals and plans for whatever reason, whether it was missteps, whether it was overpromising, whether it was funding. I think it's going to cause a lot of those folks to get back in the game, because now AI can do a lot of different jobs simultaneously, and it can do it autonomously as well. And it can do a lot of things autonomously that you weren't really expecting it to be able to do early on. Now, we have shifted, right, from that augmentation to autonomy. We've shifted from, you know, let's give it a point, you know, solution to, well, let's give it a performance goal and see how it can do. Well, that impact has started to mean that task-specific agents and orchestration are driving what those outcomes are going to look like. So if you think about a best case scenario, you know, that we saw from a revenue perspective, that we saw from an adoption perspective, I think going into, 2032, maybe even a little earlier, we're going to pass $500 million in, agentic AI. That means platforms, that means work, that means a lot of different things. And, you know, the adoption is starting to really be more concrete than we've seen before. You know, I've seen a survey, I saw a survey that said 72% of enterprises are going to be at least testing AI agents starting early in 2026. Some have even given guidelines that, you know, here are the pilots that we're going to do in early January, mid-January, so that we can get things laid out for the rest of the year. And that means that 93% of leaders think that they're going to be able to scale their AI agents. And over the next 12 months, that's huge, because that's irregardless of industry, that's irregardless of the technology. That means that something they're going to do, they think it's going to be, you know, impactful. Now, again, I'd like to bring a little bit of dose of reality to the situation, because here is the honest truth. Most organizations are still early on in their AI journey. Most organizations are still trying to grasp where that right balance is between AI and AI that enables their human workforce. Contrary to what we read in the papers or everything that we heard, if you go back and you really do an analysis of 2025, you're going to see that agentic AI and AI in general, the impacts on the job market were not as significant as others would like to tell you. They just weren't. These agents are still going to have the basic problems that enterprises are running into that just other types of AI we're having. They're not going to be deployed right. They're not going to be used in the right manner. They haven't planned for a lot of those things. The large language models are running into issues, right? There's a whole myriad of things that still have to go right for, you know, agentic AI to take off. And again, I think the biggest driver is going to be orchestration. We are going to see the emergence, especially when I release the software that I'm coming out with, orchestration layers are going to drive it. It's got to unify different parts of the human with the system, with the AI, with the other emerging technologies that are out there. That is the only way that these agents can become part of your team and part of a virtual team is what we would say. The human AI partnership is foundational to success, not only for the AI, but also for our ability to scale our skill sets. Humans in the loop, it's got to remain the sole and the most common approach to AI and AI agent management, because it's not only the human preference, but we've seen that AI even performs better when it has a human that it can bounce ideas off from, a human that can re-baseline it faster, those kind of things. It's not a human versus AI. We have to stop thinking like that. It's a human plus AI. That is the shift. That is the high value. That is the high volume of capabilities and our ability to accomplish that type of work that is going to make it successful. Responsible AI, whether it's more trustworthiness, whether it's best practices, it doesn't matter. But the reality is that we have to be able to solve work faster. And the only way that we can do that is by having better governance, better transparency, and more efficient AI. So, bottom line, we know that the implications around cyber, the quantum pieces, all of that is going to be huge. What comes first? I can't tell you, but I can tell you that there's an awful lot of transformation that is taking place that I am very excited about. And then, just going into 2026, we're going to talk about a lot of those things on the show. So continue to send questions. I hope you are paying attention to some of these things. And I think we've hit the nail on the head this year and take advantage of it. And I'm going to try to help you take advantage of these as we go into the new year. So thank you for watching. And we'll be back next week with another show. And there's no telling. Maybe it'll be one of these things from the top 15 on our list. So we'll see you next week.